And now a much-awaited section of the programme. We call it Tech Talk. And welcome to the studio, Dominic Lukesh. And also looking after me very well here today, Ross Pat Seltz.
Hello.
Good morning.
How you doing, guys? Now, a big week in the tech world, Dominic.
A huge week. Well, last week was a huge week. This coming week probably will be a little bit of a downer after the excitement of last week.
And it's the new Apple gadget.
Yes, the new iPods were announced last week, and everybody was all a Twitter about it. And I'm just going to give you a quick rundown of what
Please
happened.
Do.
So Apple basically refreshed their entire lineup of iPods, starting with the cheapest, the Shuffle. The only thing that changed on the Shuffle is a tiny little thing that has no display. It costs $50, and you can tack it onto your collar or something like that, and forget about it. The only change about it is new color. So that's not particularly exciting, but if you're into colors, you can.
Is that the headphones?
It's the actual Shuffles, the actual little things, all come in all kinds of different colors. It's really boring. Supposedly, it's one of the most popular iPods. I have no idea why, because you can't see what's playing on it. And if you want to get a small form factor, you can get the Creative Zen Stone, which is much smaller but has a little screen, so you can actually see what's playing. But there you go.
So were they overpriced in the first place, I wonder?
They're reasonably decently priced. Of course, in the UK, everything is overpriced in the UK when you do the conversion from dollars. I think the price is pretty fair. It's a 1 gigabyte for about £50. You can get a lot of cheaper players for less than that, but it really depends on what you want. Mm. Now, the next one, one of the bigger parts of this announcement was the new Nanos were announced, and they're being nicknamed on the internet the Fat Nanos,
right?
Because an image of the Nano leaked about 2 weeks before the announcement, and everybody thought, that must be a fake. The Apple would never release such an ugly piece of iPod. And then they did. And it's called the Fat Nano. But actually, it isn't in person. It looks pretty nice. And the big upgrade on it is that it's fatter because it has a bigger screen and you can play videos on it. So that's a big change from the iPod.
Is that the one?
From the old iPod Nano.
Is that the one where you turn it on the side and the screen actually changes?
I don't think this one does. No, that's the we'll get to that one.
So I heard someone talking about that the weekend on the radio. That there's
yes,
there's one. Yeah.
Well, that will be our pièce de résistance of these announcements.
Uh-huh, okay.
So this is you can get this one for 4 gig and 8 gig. I think the 4 gig is $100 and the 8 gig is $129. So that's that's expensive-ish, but it's kind of okay. You can get the SanDisk Sansas, which are roughly the same functionality, for maybe a little less, a little more, depending, but it's roughly in the right ballpark for the price. Now, the next one is the old iPod, the upgrade of the old iPod. It's called and they've renamed it into the iPod Classic.
Right.
The big news is they killed the white. No more white iPods. There's just silver, black, and some other colors. But so one of the big sort of iconic things about the iPod is slowly disappearing. The other thing is that you can now get it with a hard drive that is 160 gigabytes.
Wow.
So that is actually exceeds even the extent of my musical collection. So I could probably keep all of my music
on it. How big is it?
It's about the same size as the old iPod. I mean, I haven't held them in my hand.
So for memory, though, you can have all that memory in a small space, because when you buy a hard drive...
It's a hard drive, yeah.
They're quite big, aren't they, the 60
gigs?
Well,
those are the 3.5-inch hard drive that you put in a regular computer. They're big, and they're much cheaper. And then there's the 2.5-inch hard drives that you put in notebook computers. They're also quite big, but they're much smaller. And I actually have an old MP3 player that has an 80-gig notebook hard drive in it. And then you have these 1.8-inch drives that Toshiba is making, and they used to be only up to 40 gigabytes, then 80, and now the newest ones are up to 160 gigabytes. But you're looking at, I think, let me have a quick look, I think looking at least $300 for that one.
Mm.
And then there are, of course, there are some nice alternatives for that as well. You can get
Toshiba?
The Creative Zens, the Shiba Gigabeat. There's also the iAudio, the Koans iAudio. So these are some other good alternatives and that many people prefer for a hard drive based player.
So if I gave you a voucher to go down to Dixon's or Curry's or Comet,
uh-huh.
Think of another hardware store.
Okay, well, thank you.
Played up wrong.
Played up, yes.
I conveniently overheard the if in that sentence.
Okay, yes, big if. And you had to buy one. What would you buy?
I wouldn't buy... Well, I mean, we haven't announced all of them yet. There's one, the big one that Ross was alluding to.
Okay.
And that's the iPod Touch. That is an iPod that doesn't have that famous click wheel, that little round thing underneath the screen. It only has one button. It is Steve Jobs' obsession. Steve Jobs is the CEO of Apple and founder, to have as few buttons on everything that he can get. And this one only has one button that takes you back to the beginning screen. Everything else is a big touch screen. And on that, you can get pictures and videos, and you can navigate with just your fingers on it. So that's one of the big announcements. And that also has these special sensors that Ross was talking about, that when you turn them upside around, automatically the image shifts as well.
So would you be tempted with that, Ross, do you think?
I would be, yeah. What's the battery life on?
Well, the battery life, actually, that's another big piece of the classic iPod announcements, up to 40 hours battery life.
Wow.
These iPod Touch, unfortunately, because they're actually running OS X, the Apple operating system, they only have about 18 to 20 hours battery life and only 5 hours on video. Yeah. And also, the other problem is, to keep the battery life down, they used flash memory only. So you can get 8 gigabytes or 16 gigabytes of memory in these, but no more.
To give people an idea of how much they could download, mm-hmm. to perhaps the layman, how much could you download, say, on a 1 gigabyte memory?
Well,
what could you get on that?
Well, think of it as one song these days at a decent resolution is about 5 megabytes, and there are 1,000 megabytes in 1 gigabyte.
Okay.
So we're talking about 500 songs in 1 gigabyte.
Yeah.
On 1 gigabyte, because some are longer, some are depending what kinds of tracks you're listening to. If you're listening to classical music, it will be fewer. If you're listening to spoken word, you can get hundreds of hours of spoken word on 1 gigabyte. So that's plenty if you're commuting, and if you just want to sort of get, that's the MP3 player I use. So if you're just going to get some music or some podcasts on and just go for a bike ride or for go to commute or something like that, or go somewhere for a day, that's fine. If you want to have all your music with you all the time, you don't want to make the choice every day what you want to listen to, then you probably want to get something, either hard drive, 20 gigabytes and more, or one of these 4 to 8 gigabytes of flash memory. But the thing you have to remember is that from 4 to 8 gigabytes, there's a big price jump, because the memory just gets much more expensive to manufacture.
Would you advise people, though, just to hang fire for a little while, though? Because, notoriously, first editions, they have a few glitches on them. Wait for the second edition to come out.
Well, I'm not sure about this, necessarily. The one thing, if you don't want all these newfangled iPod things, go run, if you really want an iPod. And I'm not a big fan of the iPod, but if you are and you want a new iPod and you don't care about these new improvements, run and buy one now, because they're hugely discounted at the moment, because they're trying to get rid of the old stock. And you can get them for about 30% less than you could buy them a week ago.
And the answer to my question that I asked about if you had the voucher, was that the answer? You buy the new gadget?
Well, if I had a voucher, I wouldn't buy an iPod, frankly.
Right.
But if I had to from these, I would probably buy the Nano, just given my own sort of listening habits. But it really sort of depends what you want.
We're doing Tech Talk with Dominic Lukesh, with Ross Patzelt, and myself, Tim MacWilliam. We've been talking the new Apple news. And talking of Apples, what we want to do in a few weeks' time is have a battle of the PC against the Mac. If you're a Mac fan, please let us know and send us a message via the website, futureradio.co.uk, or Instant Messenger. Also, 666, the word future, then your message, and we'll get that. And you can come on air, and you can battle with Dominic and with Ross, and we'll see who prefers what, the Mac or the PC. What we're going to do right now is we'll play the tune by the Noisettes, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about podcasting. Right now we're doing Tech Talk. It's Dominic and it's Ross, and we've been talking all the big news about Apple. Now, what about podcasting? Is that something you're a big fan of?
Yes, same here. Well, we have a bit of news on that subject, don't we?
Is
that we have made this Future Radio is definitely going into podcasting, but it's taking a bit of time to get everything rolling, because there's quite a bit of production involved in things. But we've become the pilot podcast, one of the pilot podcasts of the Future Radio.
And historic.
Yes. And so basically it means if you want to listen to this segment of the community, Community Chest again, go to futureradio.co.uk/tech talk, and then everything will be explained there, how to listen again, how to subscribe to it so you can get regular updates, and how to get to the website where all the notes from our discussion will be posted, including web links.
Because, Ross, in your pre-Future Radio days, yep. You did your own podcast, did you not?
I did do, and that was, like Dom said, you don't actually realise how fiddly podcasts are actually to get up. There's so much involved with actually presenting the podcast in a reasonable way. There's like you have to tag everything, and then you have to make sure that obviously your levels are okay, and you've got well, that just takes a lot. I mean, you know, don't you?
When you say tag, what do you mean?
Well, you have to tag. You have to, the way that say if you go to iTunes. Just say, for instance, you go to iTunes, go onto the iTunes store. You can then go onto the podcast section and put in a search for certain keywords. So you could say, like, tech chat, or you could say, you could even probably put in, like, Norwich or Norfolk. Because when I'd done my podcast before, I found that that was actually quite easy. If you put the right keywords in, so if you put Norwich in the keywords in the podcast, that was actually one of the first ones that came up. So there's a lot involved with it. So me and Dom are going to be playing around with it over the next few weeks.
Sounds interesting.
And hopefully there'll be a lot more than just a tech chat. We'll have other bits and bobs from Future Radio to listen to again. So hopefully, yeah, it's all coming together slowly, but keep an eye on the website. I think it's the best thing.
Dominic, well, what's RSS feed?
RSS feed. Well, I just realized we never actually said what a podcast is.
Go for it.
Well, and in a way, so let me expound on this subject, is that basically a podcast is nothing but an audio file and usually an MP3 file that is on the web. Now, what makes it from a downloadable, just a regular downloadable music file or an audio file, what makes it into a podcast is exactly this thing you mentioned, an RSS feed. And RSS stands for really simple syndication.
Really?
And it's okay. And it's just a little thing. Usually you find these little orange buttons, and you get used to them because they're very useful. And all it means is that every time you add this new bit of content, let's say a bit of text or some audio, it creates this feed file, and then people who are subscribing to it take their subscribing software, and it checks there every hour or so, and if there's a new piece of content, it automatically downloads it. So basically, the way it is that you don't have to think about, well, I wonder when the next Tech Talk is going to be up, is that your podcatching software will check for you and then download it, and then you're just going to just plug in your MP3 player, get it on, and get it on there, and you can listen to it on the way to work.
Because Ross was saying different places you could get it, like iTunes. Could you get them on that stuff?
iTunes is one of the biggest places where people find podcasts, and unfortunately it is so far the only big music store that offers podcasts. It's free. I mean, you don't have to pay anything for it. But Napster doesn't offer it. None of the Windows Media companies offer it yet. But you can find podcasts simply by going to some of the big podcast directories. One of them is podcastalley.com. There's also a new media company called The Pod Show, which is on podshow.com, and The Podcast Network. And they have podcasts on any subject you can imagine, or you can just Google it and and type in technology podcasts, and it will give you a whole list of podcasts on that subject.
Because Ross, it's quite competitive, isn't it? The podcast charts. I hear stuff on the BBC, and they want to get the top show if it's the sporting or the film review.
There is. I mean, the BBC are always dominating the podcast charts. I mean, if you actually go to the BBC website, there is. I went on there the other day because I don't know if you've ever done this before, Dom. But when you seem to update iTunes. I don't know what it is for me, for you, but for me, when I updated iTunes the other day to a new version, that actually got rid of all my podcasts. And I had to resubscribe. I don't know if I had it in the wrong place in my computer. But when I was actually going onto the BBC website to see if there was any other new podcasts, there must have been about 60 or 70 different podcasts.
Well, BBC was actually quite behind in many ways on the podcasting scene, because for almost a year and a half, they ran this pilot project where they only had about 20 or so podcasts, but now they have definitely turned things into higher gear, and you can get all sorts of very useful programs again on a podcast. And if you go to bbc.co.uk/radio/podcasts, then you can get them and you can sort them by radio station, by subject, by all sorts of things.
So bbc.co.uk/radio/podcast. Right, okay.
Another place where I actually, and because BBC was so behind, I discovered the joys of the National Public Radio in the US as npr.org. And that's sort of a, it's a different way of doing the same thing BBC does. It's basically a public broadcasting, but different stations contribute to it.
Yeah.
And if you go to npr.org/podcasts, then you can find lots of very interesting science programming, culture programming, even some, as my favorite, Don't Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's a comedy podcast. It's kind of like the news quiz, on the NPR, and it covers American politics. So I definitely recommend that people check that out as well, because there's lots of good stuff out there.
Because I was reading a quite an interesting article in the radio magazine. It was by Danny Baker, and he was saying the state of certain sections of radio these days, that people will perhaps just choose what they want to listen to, find their favourite podcasts. So, for example, if Chris Moyles could just have his own company and do his own podcast rather than broadcasting. So is that the way you could see it going?
I don't think so entirely, because you still need some sort of cross-pollination. Because one of the things that you lose is that the sort of randomly overhearing things on the radio if you tune in, because, you know, sometimes you tune in too early or you let it run. So if you only listen to the favorite podcast, then you will just kind of get stuck in one place. So I think there's you still need some sort of an aggregator where you can find new things, and that is one of the efforts that is underneath the Pod Show project.
I think one of the most annoying things I've found with podcasts, because I like you, I subscribe to a lot of them, but I found sometimes new podcasts, when they actually create new podcasts, they might do a load of podcasts in one go, but then you might not get anything for about, say, 2 or 3 months, and then so you delete it, but you never know if they're actually, a lot of people start doing podcasts, but they kind of get fed up with it, I think, quite quickly. Yeah. Obviously, when we do ours is going to be updated quite a few times.
Well, we already have the first 6 episodes of this segment online, so if anybody wants to go listen to everything we've done on this chat since the very beginning, you can go to futureradio.co.uk/techtalk.
Well, thank you very much, guys, for coming in today. And I can say with absolute confidence and clarity, at the moment, in the Future Radio podcasts, we are number one.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Cheers, Tim.
Oh, actually, Dom, before you go, next week you're in Barcelona.
No, I'm in Barcelona the week after.
Hey, Dom, in 2 weeks' time you're in Barcelona.
Yes, I am.
Okay. And we're going to talk to you there via a Skype phone. So
we're going to do our best.
Technology will come to Future Radio, whether you like it or not. Okay, cheers, guys. See you next week.
Bye.
And Dominic, on his way out, did ask me just to remind you that there is, of course, a podcast for platform. If you go on to futureradio.co.uk/platform, and you'll be able to download the podcast for our award-winning show, Platform.